the live music capital of the world, Austin, Texas. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM, and broadcasting tonight from the studios of KLBJ News Radio 590 in Austin, Texas. Let me tell you, the staff here, they have been fantastic. Wiring up the studio, getting the link back to Los Angeles, up to the satellite we go. And here we are worldwide on Coast to Coast tonight. I'm here for a talk fest, which will be on Saturday at the Austin Convention Center. So if you happen to live in the area, or everybody in Texas, just come on by Austin tomorrow. I'm on the air this time, Central Time, at 2 o'clock until 4. Okay. Next hour, by the way, Alex Jones will be our guest. We're going to talk with Alex about the New World Order. Alex happens to live in Austin as well. He has been camped outside the studios of KLBJ for 3 days, so I felt obligated to put Alex on the program tonight. So he'll be our guest for the full program. Here's other news of the day before we get into tonight's topic with Robert Felix as we talk about the possibility of a coming ice age. Mad cow disease has been found in a goat, and this is a very serious story. A French goat has tested positive for mad cow disease. This is the very first animal in the world, other than a cow, to have BSE. Now, the European Commission says further testing will be done to see if the incident is isolated. The animal, which was slaughtered in 2002, was initially thought to have what is called Scrappy, a similar brain-wasting condition sometimes seen in goats. But British scientists have now confirmed that this disease was in fact BSE. That is bad news. More than 100 people in the United Kingdom have died from the human form of mad cow disease, which is called CJD, after eating tainted beef. Also in England, they are upset, they are concerned. 1 in 6 cosmetic surgery firms may be closed down as fears for patients' health prompt a clampdown. Listen to this one. Fears that cosmetic implants used in lips and cheeks could trigger CJD, the human form of mad cow disease, have now prompted the government there to launch an investigation. The chief medical officer of England says the experts are examining the possibility that tissue implants such as collagen could transmit blood-borne diseases such as CJD if contaminated. Although no evidence of such transmission has been discovered, the Committee on Safety and Blood Tissues believes that there might be a risk. Society's obsession, they say, with high cheekbones and larger lips have prompted thousands of Brits to resort to implants to enhance their features. That's happening here in the United States as well. Top Pentagon contractor Lockheed Martin and its European partners will build the new presidential helicopter fleet, according to members of Congress, putting an end to a very fierce competition that had both political and international overtones. The $1.6 billion contract to buy 23 high-tech, high-security aircraft is relatively small in value. But the two important issues here, the outsourcing of American jobs and the question of how open the U.S. military market is to foreign contractors. The decision was a victory for the major campaign waged by the Maryland-based Lockheed and its European partners with the help of political leaders from England and Italy. It was a blow to the Connecticut-based Sikorsky Aircraft Company, which has built the presidential fleet since 1957 and saw the contract as a point of pride. Made in America should mean something, they say. The Defense Department has some explaining to do. Just ahead of the first free balloting in Iraq in half a century, the nation battened down for the vote, imposing a 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew on Friday, closing Baghdad International Airport. However, 5 U.S. soldiers were killed in the capital, and insurgents blasted polling stations across the country. The curfew will remain in effect through Monday, and the nation's borders will be sealed for the election period. Medical teams are on alert, and nationwide restrictions on traffic will be imposed from Saturday to Monday to try and deter any car bombers. In Jacksonville, Florida, a man accused of leaving voicemail on the city council president's phone saying killing 100,000 people would get people's attention has been arrested, accused of making a bomb threat. What did he want to do? Well, he wanted to bomb the Super Bowl and take a lot of people out. He left his phone number on the city council president's voicemail. They went and got him. The U.S. Navy is surveying the Malacca Strait, as I reported last night, in coastal waters off Indonesia for signs that last month's devastating Indian Ocean tsunami altered the seabed under the world's busiest shipping lane. They don't know if the seabed has been altered by 60 feet or 3,000 feet. That's why the Navy's going to take a look. But what has been happening with the weather? 40-inch snowstorms on the East Coast, heavy rains, hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, earthquakes. What's going on? In a moment, our guest Robert Felix, an expert, not by fire, but by ice, he believes we're already in an earthquake. Back in a moment. Robert Felix became interested in the Ice Age cycle back in 1991. He spent the next 8.5 years full-time researching and writing about the coming Ice Age, and then he concentrated on spreading the word. Robert's book, Not by Fire but by Ice, has achieved international acclaim now from readers all around the world. And today, Felix continues his research, and he's more firmly convinced now than ever that the next Ice Age could begin any day. In fact, he believes it has already begun. Robert, welcome back to Coast. How are you, my friend?
Thank you, George. I'm glad to be on with you.
My pleasure. You know, it seems that when we bring you on, we're in the midst of some kind of catastrophe. And after this tsunami, I talked with my producers a few days ago and said, you know what, we haven't talked to Robert in a while. Let's get him back on. Something's going on this planet. What's happening, Robert?
Well, I think it has to do with the Ice Age cycle, but you know, the Ice Age cycle has a lot more to do than just with ice ages, because the same the precession cycle, we also see an increase in earthquake activity, an increase in volcanic activity, and unfortunately, tsunami. You know, in the book I mentioned this is talking about earthquakes and rising land, and those are two processes that actually do go in phase with this 11,500-year cycle.
Well, you know, as I mentioned, the U.S. Navy's going down there to survey the Malacca Strait and coastal waters because people are saying that the ocean floor may have risen by anywhere from 65 feet to maybe 3,000 feet. That's dramatic.
Oh, my word. I mean, 65 feet is dramatic enough. That's 6.5 stories, but 3,000, I haven't heard that. What would happen if that happened in our hemisphere? You know, one of the places that has risen in sync with precession is the island of Barbados.
Yes.
And also the Florida Keys. Now, if we had an earthquake big enough to raise one of those islands by 20 feet, we would have one of those tsunamis strike a large portion of the United States.
Well, and as you know, Robert, they're concerned about the La Palma volcano possibilities in the Canary Islands, where they say if that goes, they're not saying it is, but they say if it does, it could create a tsunami 600 feet tall, 600 feet, going 50 miles inland on the eastern coast of the United States with such a force that it would knock down skyscrapers. Now, that's huge.
That's almost unthinkable, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Now, I want you to explain something, because we are, whether we're in a cycle, as I believe, or whether it's true global warming caused by man, which some others believe, nonetheless, we are in global warming. Temperatures on this planet are going up. As a matter of fact, yesterday, they said that it's going to be twice as high as they had predicted just a few weeks before that, that it's possible that the planet, the sea levels, it will go up by 19.5 degrees Fahrenheit. That's dramatic. But explain something to me, because we're talking about global warming, which is happening, cycle or otherwise, yet you're talking about an ice age. People are saying, how can we have global warming and an ice age?
I disagree. I do not agree that we're having global warming. We have ocean warming, which I have been hammering on since the early 1990s that it's caused.
That's to you, that's a big difference. Ocean warming.
Absolutely, okay. Because to me, the term global warming is a code word for human caused. And as far as, because here's the thing is whenever we hear about so-called global warming, they talk about worldwide surface temperatures. They don't bother to tell us that they're including the temperatures of the ocean. Temperatures in the ocean are going up, yes. Temperatures on land are going down. Temperatures in the atmosphere are going down. So I think that we're being misled by the terminology. Yes, I agree that the temperatures of the ocean are going up, and I think that's part of the ice age cycle, and that it's caused by underwater volcanic activity.
If these currents in the ocean change because they're warming, what can happen?
Okay, what can happen is the same thing that has happened before. Prior to previous ice ages, the oceans warmed. There was a study done last year, based way back on 23 million years ago, but they discovered that ice ages correlate with increased El Nino activity. And that's what we're seeing, the El Nino in 1982 was the El Nino of the century. It did $8 billion worth of damage. Then in 1997, we had another one, did $97 billion worth of damage. It dwarfed the other one. Well, those El Nino, what it is a warmer belt of water down near the equator that sends these huge amounts of moisture into the sky. And I think it's inevitable that moisture is going to return to us as the giant floods that we've been getting and also as giant snowstorms.
I was going to say, Boston digging out from nearly a 40-inch snowstorm, highly unusual. I mean, we've had big snowstorms before, but we seem to be getting hit with all kinds of major weather at the same time. And that's what concerns me, Robert. It's the big hurricanes. It's the numerous hurricanes. It's the record-setting amount of tornadoes in the Midwest. It's the tsunamis that are occurring. It's the record snowfalls. It seems like every year now, records that used to be 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, every year we seem to be creating a new record. That tells me something's going on, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I believe it is. You know, in history, in geologic history, we've only had 10% of the time has been a good kind of climate. And during these last 10,000 years, the Earth has had good climate, essentially. But I believe we're headed into extremes, and extremes, by the way, are what mark entries into ice ages, extremes in both directions. So that there are, well, for instance, before we entered the Little Ice Age in the 1600s,
right,
there were areas of the world that had the worst droughts in 300 years. Then later that year, same location, same year, had the worst snowstorms in 500 years. So that is one of the hallmarks of entering an ice age, is the extremes.
Now, and tell us the procedure of this ice age. It's going to snow, it melts, right? Or just some of it stays, and then the summer comes, and then it snows again for the winter, some of it stays. What's the procedure here?
For starters, watch the far northeast. Watch Nova Scotia, watch New Brunswick, because that is where generally that in the European areas like the United Kingdom, but bigger snowstorms where the snow stays longer each year, and then one year the snow just doesn't melt. Not necessarily colder, and that's something that people still find it hard to understand, this came from a guy by the name of Morris Ewing back in the 1970s. He was head of Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's cold enough right now to have an ice age. All we need is more moisture. Well, since he said those words in 1970, precipitation has increased worldwide by 20%. So we're getting the moisture. It does not have to be cold. That's the amazing thing. It doesn't have to be any colder. If you're living in Winnipeg and you suddenly get 2 feet of snow a day for the next 30 days, all of a sudden you've got five stories of snow and it's not any colder.
Well, and as we talked, homes can't support that kind of snow, that kind of weight on their roofs at all. They'd all collapse. And then what do you do when the power goes out and you're stuck in your house because there's an 8-foot snowfall out there?
And I believe that one of these days that is going to happen to some city. And I'm guessing that a European city rather than the United States, but that's going to happen to some city where there's like 8 or 10 feet of snow. What do? You can't get in there to rescue them. You can't get a train in there. You can't get trucks. You can't land a plane. It will be a disaster equivalent to the tsunami, I believe.
The cover of your book, Not by Fire but by Ice, illustrates a skyscraper in some city. You didn't want to panic the world and announce what the city was, but what it clearly shows is that ice has nearly covered that building. Do you really envision something like that happening?
I had a geologist from New York contact me about that cover, and he complained because I was being far too easy on it. He said the ice in Manhattan was about 5 times deeper than my cover shows.
We've had an iceberg break off. They thought for a moment it was going to collide with a glacier. It did not. It didn't have the kind of impact that they thought, though they didn't say it was going to be catastrophic by any means. However, things are breaking off on the poles, and they're beginning to say, and I want to get your take on this, Robert, what happens when all that ice melts and it increases sea levels to what could be 30 feet in the next 100 years, but it could happen even 1 foot, I think, could be devastating to some coasts, couldn't they?
I don't believe that's going to happen. We hear that sort of talk, and it's all filled with the possibilities that this could happen and this might happen, and if this happens, then sea levels are going to rise. But measurements show that sea levels are going down, and that's something that no one bothers to tell us. This is something that came out in August of 2000, and there was an article talking about the small country of Tuvalu, which is out in the Pacific. It's about 9 islands, and the highest any island is above sea level is 12 feet. And so the inhabitants of Tuvalu were really worried about rising sea levels. The official meteorological agency of Tuvalu began measuring sea levels for 10 years. At the end of that period, they were very embarrassed to announce that sea levels had gone down by 2.5 inches. But I have not seen this published anywhere in the United States. This was published in the London Daily Telegraph, and then it kind of got swept under the table. But during previous ice ages, sea levels were something like 370 feet lower than they are today. I believe we'll be seeing sea levels go down because that's where all of the moisture comes from in order to build these huge sheets of ice that cover most of Canada.
Oh, how could your opinion be so opposite that of some other scientists who think it's going to go up?
Well, because they keep on filling their computer models, but they don't bother to put this cycle into their models. There's a cycle to ice ages that shows up in the geologic record, and this is not something that I've made up or I've guessed at. This is something that was discovered back in the 1970s by a group called CLIMAP, Climate Long Range Investigation Mapping and Prediction. And it was spearheaded by scientists at Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. There were more than 200 scientific institutions involved. What they did is they drilled cores into the ocean floor and studied the sediments, and they discovered that ice ages have begun or ended almost like clockwork every 11,500 years. They named it pacemaker of the ice ages. And it's if they would put this undeniable cycle into their computer models, we would be getting an entirely different story.
And you believe that we are in the beginning of an ice age now?
I do. And look at, we've been having record cold, we've been having record snow. Now this year the Northwest doesn't have much snow, but 4 years ago the Northwest had record snow. There were, Mount Baker had 100 feet of snow. It was so deep they had to bulldoze the snow out from underneath the chairlifts. Glaciers are, you know, we keep hearing about melting glaciers. Glaciers are growing right here in the United States.
Well, that's true. Robert, stay with us. We're going to open up the phone lines. I want all our listeners to have an opportunity to chat with you about this, too. The coming ice age. Not by fire, but by ice. I'm George Norrie. I'll be back in a moment live in Austin, Texas at KLBJ Radio, News Radio 590.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. At 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk to George toll free from east of the Rockies, call 800-825-5033. To talk to George toll free from west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may talk to George by dialing their in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll free 800-893-0903. Live, deep in the heart of Texas, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Indeed, broadcasting from the studios of KLBJ, where tomorrow I'll be in the Austin Convention Center for their Talk Fest. So come on by if you're in the area. Next hour, Alex Jones, our guest, as we talk about the New World Order and a number of other things. You know, Alex has been on Coast to Coast a couple of times, but I've never had an opportunity to meet him. I just went out there and did meet Alex Jones, and he's all pumped up for this show. So get ready. Alex Jones, right around the corner here on Coast to Coast AM. The After Dark CD, it is the last CD and the only CD I shall ever do. It's available to you, a double CD, great bumper music, unforgettable calls to the show, and even some really fascinating ghost stories, one of which is called The Monkey's Paw. And you can listen to a sample of that on the coasttocoastam.com website right now. But if you'd like to order the CD, you can order it off the web by going to www.afterdarkcd.com or call this toll-free number where operators are available, 800-598-2331. That's 800-598-2331. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest this hour, Robert Felix. Robert, the name of your book, Not by Fire, but by Ice. I know the ice part. How about the fire part? Tell me how you came up with the title.
Well, I came up with the title. I have a, there's an ancient Scandinavian legend that I'd love to read to you.
All right, go ahead.
A long time ago, the universe was made of ice. Then one day, the ice began to melt, and a mist rose into the sky. Out of the mist came a giant made of frost, and the earth and the heavens were made from his body. That is how the world began, and that is how the world will end, not by fire, but by ice. The seas will freeze, and winters will never end. I ran across that ancient Scandinavian legend, and when you think about it, in the north, during Noah's flood, what was going on? And that would certainly be, if you were living in Scandinavia, it would be a more logical thing to envision happening.
Probably would be. What do you see right now as our most pressing, then, weather situation?
Well, there's just all sorts of different things. And there's a, before we go there, there's something else I've learned since the last time that I was on with you, because I've been talking...
Which was almost a year ago.
Yes. Right. And, well, I've been talking about this underwater volcanic activity, and then we're watching the Arctic Ocean warm, and I'm wondering, how do I explain this? And in my book, I mentioned that during the last ice age, even though Canada was covered with 2 miles of ice, that the Arctic Ocean had almost no more ice than it does today. Well, the Max Planck Society sent some icebreakers to the Arctic, and they also sent down a submersible, and they discovered a huge underwater mountain range, a volcanic range. It's called the Gakel Ridge. It extends underneath the Arctic Ocean for more than 1,000 miles. It's bigger than the Alps. And they found that it was surprisingly strong, surprisingly strong underwater volcanic activity. They said it was one of the strongest hydrothermal activities ever seen at a mid-ocean ridge. As far as I'm concerned, that is what is heating the oceans. It certainly appears to be what's heating the Arctic Ocean.
Well, you may be right about that.
And I think what we need to do, the next El Nino, I think it would be so easy if we could send a submersible down to track where that heat is coming from, and we could answer this once and for all. And if that heat continues to build up, so I think warming oceans are probably our biggest concern, but I don't think that humans have anything to do with it.
All right, let's go to the phones. As promised, we'll pick it up by going to our first wildcard line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm Oklahoma City.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
I was just wondering, you know, you were talking about the Canary Islands, that rock falls off 600-foot tsunami hits our coast.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason these island nations get beat up so bad about a tsunami is because they don't have a continental shelf. Won't our continental shelf diminish this 600-foot wave, but, you know, to almost nothing, or 100-foot maybe?
Based on the scientists I've talked to, they don't believe it would. As a matter of fact, if anything, that might even help contribute to it. I mean, I have talked to a lot of different people about tsunamis worldwide. This one is one of the biggest I've ever heard. So I don't think the shelf would minimize it at all. What also is fascinating, Robert, is that if you're on a ship somewhere between the coast and where the tsunami began, they really can't feel anything. It's not until this tsunami gets very close to the shoreline, that's when you feel the big push.
Right. And you know, when you talk about it going inland, yes, there's a geologist by the name of Jody Bourgeois who did a study in Texas, actually, of a giant tsunami that happened at the time of the dinosaur extinction that rolled huge boulders around as if they were pebbles. And at this point, I don't remember how far inland it went, but it went a ways.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with Robert Felix. Hi there.
Hi there. This is Olin in Culver City.
Olin, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yes. I'd like to know if Dr. Felix knows if the 11,500-year ice age cycle corresponds to the alignment of the planets all on one side of the sun like we had on May 5, 2000. Because the planet Mars approached Earth within 35 million miles instead of the usual 65 million a couple of years ago.
Closest it's been in, 60,000 years?
Right. You know, I don't know. I know that what it correlates with is something, it's an earthly cycle that also involves the sun, but it's precession of the equinoxes, in that our Earth is tilted, and our axis of rotation is tilted 23.5 degrees. And not only is it tilted, but it moves in a constant circle. If you spin a top, the top is never going to stand straight up and down. It's always tilted, and it's always turning in a circle. Well, the circle that our axis of rotation takes is 23,000 years, and these ice ages seem to correlate with the half point. So precession of the equinoxes, which is an earthly phenomenon related to the sun, is the pacemaker of the ice ages.
Does that help you, Olin?
Well, I'm really not. What was that? The Hubbard cycle, or they call that some kind of a precessionary cycle.
It's called the Milankovitch cycle.
Milankovitch cycle.
Yes. Now, the alignments that you're talking about, I'm not familiar with that one, but there is another alignment that happens at the beginning of little ice ages. It's called the solar retrograde cycle, but it's a time when I think it's both Neptune and Saturn end up being in the same quadrant of the solar system. That only happens once every 186 years. And when that happens, it tugs on the sun enough that it changes magnetic activity on Earth, and the Earth does get colder. And this cycle was discovered by John Sanders and Rhodes Fairbridge at Columbia University. And for some reason, when you double that solar retrograde cycle, we do enter little ice ages. That cycle does, if you multiply it out far enough, does correlate with the 11,500-year cycle. So in that respect, there is an alignment going on.
Robert, another thing we didn't talk about is how these weather patterns are affecting the jet stream. I've got to tell you, I've been flying a lot over the past year, and I've never felt so many bumpy plane rides in all my life. Does this have anything to do with it?
Oh, it must. I mean, when you look at the areas of the world that were glaciated before, it must have to do with the jet stream carrying the moisture to one area and not to another area. By the way, you said you're in Texas?
I'm in Texas. I'm in Austin, Texas right now.
I'm wondering if there's any listener in Victoria, Texas, because on Christmas, Victoria had 100 times its normal snowfall.
Well, it's not a matter of whether there's a listener there. It's a matter of can they get in on the phone line.
Okay.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with Robert Felix. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bakersfield,
California. Okay, and speak up as loudly as you can.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
I've been having premonitions.
Like what?
Well, after my near-death experience, I started getting premonitions. In the beginning of December, I was clinging to the top of a telephone pole wire. I don't know how tall those are, 30, 40 feet up. And the waves were coming over, like, up to my waist, crashing in, and I was hanging on for dear life. And I saw the waves coming over high-rise buildings.
So you're saying what you felt and saw was this tsunami that occurred on December 26th?
Well, I don't know. My friend, she told me that's probably what I saw, but I said that they didn't have high-rise buildings over
no,
there.
No, they did not. They had some high-rise hotels. Maybe that was it?
No, these were like buildings like, you know, how New York...
Skyscrapers.
So, yeah,
okay.
Like 30 feet up, because the waves were just coming, covering over them.
And have you normally been correct with these dream premonitions?
Well, it's weird. I had another premonition years ago, and my soul was hovering over a building. I was like hovering over the roof, and I was watching this some important official walking out. As he was walking down the walkway, when he got right to the car, the gun went off, and it was so loud that it jerked me out of my dream. It sounded like it was right there in my room. And I had no clue where I was, who that what the person was. That night on the news, they announced that the Prime Minister of Israel, when he came walking out of the building down the walkway, right when he got to the car, he got shot.
Oh, that's when Yitzhak Rabin got killed.
Yeah, my friend thinks that's what I'm seeing. And I saw it that Sunday morning.
Okay, so what you're seeing now is another large tsunami.
But the thing is, I don't get in my dreams, like, you know, the name of the place or...
I understand. You know. I understand. Robert, you know, a lot of people pick up premonitions before these events occur. I don't know if you do or not.
I don't know. Well, maybe I have. I don't know. But I try to back it up with the science. But they do. And, you know, animals do. Why shouldn't people? Animals will sometimes, you know, I mentioned in the book that prior to earthquakes in China, they have times when animals have, you know, snakes even have crawled out of their holes. And there's, you know, why shouldn't some people have that same ability?
Prior to the tsunami, animals all along Indonesia and Thailand felt something. Elephants ran off into the hills. I mean, it was just incredible what was happening there.
That really is. What? How did they know? You know, there's something there, and so I'm not going to laugh at someone who has premonitions. I think it's possible. Totally.
You cannot laugh at that. Wildcard line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hi. First of all, George, howdy. Since you're
howdy.
In Texas.
I am in Texas.
I wanted to tell you the monkey's paw. I read that in high school, and I never forgot that story.
It's
never.
A great story. But anyways, we've got just a few moments.
All right.
For Robert. Go ahead.
First of all, I'm in Canada, the lovely cold area. And how long is this ice age going to last? And is there any warm places in the, you know, in the world that maybe some of us should move to?
All right, two good questions. All right, how long will it last, Robert? And then how far down? She's in Canada, obviously, but how far down will it go in North America, for example?
Well, previous ice ages have lasted about 5,000 years before the ice, you know, the ice keeps accumulating for 5,000 years.
Oh, that's a great thought, and you're saying we're in it now.
Yeah, so I think we're just at the beginning.
Okay.
During the last ice age, the ice essentially came down past Seattle, and then it curved back up so that it almost went back to the Canadian border. There was a tongue of ice that came down out of Canada up above Coeur d'Alene and created a dam and created glacial Lake Missoula. Then the ice essentially followed the Missouri River. On the north side of the Missouri River, there was a cliff of ice about 15 stories tall. But on the south side of the river, it was probably only 7 to 10 degrees colder than it is right now. Chicago was covered. The ice went as far south as the Ohio River and essentially followed the Ohio River. And all of New England was covered. The ice reached as far as Manhattan. From what I understand, Long Island was actually the terminus, and Long Island was created out of all of the debris that fell off of the ice sheets.
Have you created a model just to determine how far down this one could go?
I do have a picture. I do have a map in my book, and then I do have a map on my website, Ice Age Now, that shows generally how far south it went last time.
I mean, would St. Louis, my old hometown, would that get affected?
No, that shouldn't be. That should be fine.
So it won't go down that far.
What we're looking at essentially is that the climate of Chicago will move to Georgia. But the
current
there,
climate, the current climate.
Yes,
you're saying Georgia will experience the kind of weather
that
Chicago's
Chicago
having
now.
I see. Okay.
Yes. And I think that's beginning too, because I think Atlanta has been getting a lot more snow and a lot more cold than they're used to. As a matter of fact, the southeastern United States. Average temperatures in the southeastern United States have declined about 10 degrees in the last 30 years. They haven't gone up, they've gone down.
Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing fine. Speak up and take it away.
Well, I'm calling from Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, we're experiencing an ice storm this evening.
Ice storm.
Tonight?
Yeah, yes, as a matter of fact, they thought Atlanta was going to get hit with a big one, so I guess it's starting.
Well, I'm 20 miles outside of Atlanta.
Okay, so if you're getting it, chances are they are too, I would guess, huh?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm calling from Stone Mountain.
And when you say you're experiencing an ice storm, how thick, how bad is it right now?
Well, it's 28 degrees. It's been raining for about 5 hours.
Oh, no.
And they're expecting about a half inch of ice.
That's like a hockey rink, for crying out loud.
Wow. Yeah, it could be worse.
Now, have you had ice storms before?
Yes, in the 70s.
Okay, so here we are now 30 years later, Robert, and we're getting ice storms again. So what does that tell you?
Well, maybe he's looking at what happened in Montreal. What was it, 5 years ago when they had the huge ice storm in Montreal? Is that the ice built up on the power lines and on the limbs of the trees to the thickness of Coke bottles, and it took down something like 80,000 miles of power line. I forget how many. I think 25,000 power poles were snapped off. It took like 3 months to repair everything.
Where can people get your book, not by fire, but by ice?
Well, it's available on my website, iceagenow.com. I think it's probably still available at Amazon.com and other bookstores. If they don't have it, most of them can get it in a few days.
Well, you know, every time you're on Coast to Coast, I check Amazon.com for our authors, and you keep creeping up in the seller lists.
I'm kind of glad. I don't know where you go to check that, but
yeah, it's there. There's a way you can do that.
It's called
Movers and Shakers.
Okay, I'll have to look that up.
You do that, Robert. Let's stay in touch. In one sentence, overall, what kind of rest of the winter are we going to have?
Oh, I don't know. How would that cover it?
Well, okay,
that can change. It does not surprise me, though. I think we'll still be breaking records.
All right. Robert Felix, not by fire, but by ice. In a moment, I'll be back with Alex Jones in the studio as we broadcast live from KLBJ Studios in Austin, Texas. I'm George Norrie. Back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Get it in writing with the After Dark newsletter. Subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505.
Try me, fire it up, I think I'm engine. Permanently stalled.